Good afternoon. It's almost 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. in Little Saigon, Seattle. This is not a Little Saigon report, though. This is technically another one of those little stories that connects to other stories about the Sullivan family and Dan growing up. And I'm doing my best to keep it positive and to protect the innocent. But to tell you the truth, in the Sullivan clan, there were probably no one was really innocent. We were all, yeah. But today's story, or this additional story, since I've got a couple done today, but this additional story is called the Pinecone Turkey. Now, this one also dates, I believe, from a day or two, maybe the day before Thanksgiving, 1976. Could be 75. Could be 75, actually. But I'm pretty certain it was first grade. The reason why I say it was first grade is because in kindergarten, I remember at Catholic school at Immaculate Conception in kindergarten, it seemed like they just let us wear whatever clothes we had on was fine. But first grade, it seemed like that was the first time where they say, you're going to wear a uniform, dude. You're going to wear your navy blue sweater and your white, button down or not button down collared shirt, and you're going to wear your corduroys that are dark blue. And that was the Immaculate Conception school uniform. So yeah, I think it was 1976 Thanksgiving. And people carpooled back then. There was that, there was a couple energy shocks. People did get scared about the oil. Whole nother story about Anacortes and special forces training back in the 70s. It's training because there were, oil refineries, oil places, whole oil industry, and they were training special forces there in case we had to go and take stuff. And I guess that training really worked out because we've gone and we've taken stuff. I'm not going to talk about that though. So this is Thanksgiving, the day before, I think, Thanksgiving 1976. And I'm 6 years old on my way to seven, and I'm carpooling. My mom is driving. It's a station wagon. It's got that little seating area in the back. And another classmate is carpooling. We're driving this classmate to Bayview. It's not far from where we lived on Highway 20. And this other classmate, let's call her Amy. I won't name her last name. I could give it away and say her brother once played Jesus Christ, but really, do I need to do that? No. So Amy's in the car. And she's 6 years old too. And come on, you can't really blame too much on the six, but she ends up, being careless. Careless with her pine cone turkey. So, we did art class that day. We took a pine cone and some art paper and glue, and we made these turkeys out of pine cones. It was very artistic. I was like climped and using all my pastiche and mixes of forms and patina and all the artistic constructs of abstraction, little Picasso, little Van Gogh, some Andy Warhol. And I did a great job. I was proud of my pine cone turkey. It was a turkey made out of pine cone, some pipe cleaners, some art paper. It was awesome. And Amy, the other classmate, the woman, the female, there's always a femme fatale. Amy also made a pine cone turkey, but she dropped hers as we were going home to her place. And she starts bawling. And my mom, listen. My mom, God bless her, but she needed to resolve that conflict because she's driving. She doesn't want a kid screaming. So she says, Dan, give her your pine cone turkey. And here's the thing, guys. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. And truly, what does it matter? But it is kind of like the whole thing with like communism and Marxism. It's kind of like you're trying to make the world fair by taking from one person and giving to another. And that really, really never works out. Eventually, the people that you steal from will get pissed off. They will. I hate to break it to you. And then you're going to be forced with killing them because you're either going to kill them or they're going to kill you. That is communism in a nutshell. You steal with you end up stealing from people until they want to kill you, and then you have to figure out a way to kill them first. There you go. Marxism 101. So yeah, I wasn't really super happy about the pine cone turkey episode. And let's also be clear about something else. I was a real rascal, that's a nice way of putting it, when I was in grade school, a Catholic school. I spent a lot of time in the hallway, which is a nice way of saying I was always in trouble. I was always in the hallway pending a spanking, pending punishment. And it was the nuns. We didn't really have, all of our teachers were not nuns. A lot of them were just women, Catholic women. But we had a few nuns, and the principals were nuns. And if Dan got in enough trouble, he went to the nun's office, and she had, I think she had a cheese paddle. You know, which basically was a wooden paddle, like you think rugby paddle if you want to. And she would give you a good old-fashioned spanking. Now, I do believe for the most part it was over the pants. I don't think they did bare bottom, although it maybe actually once or twice I think they did. And here's the thing, I truly don't know looking back if it was just good old-fashioned, honest corporal punishment or if it was something else. We all know that there's weirdness in the papacy and weirdness in the Catholic Church when it comes to kids. I don't want to say more. But yeah, I got a lot of spankings. I got a lot of beatings. I deserved it, probably. I did some things. We had a Jesus book in first grade, and I drew naked pictures in it. That wasn't so cool. There was a statue of Jesus Christ in the hallway, and when we would walk past it, it had its hands out. I would give it a high five. You're not supposed to give the high five. You're not supposed to give Christ the high five. That's not appropriate. So yeah, I wasn't a great student, but we were, this was Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, and I'd worked on that pine cone turkey with so much effort. I'd put so much of my blood, sweat, and tears as a 6-year-old kid into this pine cone turkey, and my mom says, just give it to her. You know, she broke hers. She broke hers, so she deserves yours. And it's funny because I remember this memory, and I think I remember it in part because this girl got so upset. Again, kids do cry over spilt milk. I've never been a parent. It happens. If I had things that upset me when I was a kid, this isn't about girls crying. Kids get upset. I told you about Lenny Wilkins' basketball camp. Come on. Fuck. But it was my pine cone turkey, and you know, I don't believe in communism. And I think it was one of my first lessons in how much it sucks to work on something and then have it taken away. Listen, you may not think that America has free enterprise. I would agree with you. We're a very crony economy with a lot of weird socialism, mostly directed to the rich. And there isn't a lot of freedom left. And so people beat up on America, say, well, capitalism doesn't work. Listen, we haven't practiced actual capitalism or free enterprise in this country in a very, 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 very long time. We practice something that looks more like a planned economy, but a la Jackson Pollock. Like if you can imagine, if you can imagine Jackson Pollock planning the economy. That would be kind of how the Fed does it. It's painting with random numbers at the Fed level, and they do a lot of damage. So is it better to plan the way the Soviets did? We're saying we're going to build 30,000 tractors next year? No, that's stupid too. It's stupid to plan an economy. Whether you're planning it Soviet style with the 5-year plan or you're doing it with the Fed, it's stupid. Communism is stupid. The lesson I got from the pine cone turkey is that when you work on something, and someone arbitrarily comes along, even if it's your mom, and says, listen, she's really sad. I know you worked on it. You're all in a Thanksgiving mood about being off from school and you can like hide out for a few days more. But, you know, your classmate is bawling and I want to get home to have a beer or some wine with your dad, but we're going to hide it from you kids. And, you know, we're going to maybe have drinks at the neighbors at the Hallbirds because kids, listen, we're not going to have drinks in the house. We'll be good. We'll put Dorothy in charge and we'll go to the Hallbirds and we'll have some drinks. Because you kids, you damn kids, you 8 crazy kids. And that's right. If I haven't said, I have 6 sisters and a brother, 1 sister in heaven. So yes, that's the kind of configuration I came from. So maybe that's it. Maybe my parents just got used to giving the girls everything they want. So if I'm in the car with some random girl from my class, you know, who starts bawling because she dropped her pine cone turkey, maybe the only thing my mom knew to do was say, give her the pine cone turkey. But really, mom, I worked on that. And you might not think this is a great story. Here's the thing. As I do these stories, I don't know if you're going to like them all. And they might be cases where I go back and say, I'm going to revisit this and maybe extend, you know? But this is human memory, and whatever conclusions you want to draw, go ahead and conclude them, whatever. Another interesting fact from when I was at Immaculate Conception School, not directly related to pine cone turkeys, but kind of. Well, so we had those old style desks, right, that opened up. And you could put your notebooks and your pencils and your textbooks in them and then close them up. And if you were a good student, you opened them up and took books home and then you closed it. Here's the deal. I had one of those desks pretty much every grade in Immaculate Conception. Excuse me. Every single fucking grade. I would open the desk once, excuse me, twice a year. At the beginning of the year, they put the textbooks in it for the most part. I kind of left them in there. Oh, yeah, my teachers did not like me. And then at the end of the year, take the textbooks back out to give them to the teacher and then maybe wipe off the peanut butter sandwich I left in there. Because I would open it. When I say I only opened it twice, I would open it twice plus a couple other times throughout the year to shove food I didn't like inside of it. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I could have easily gone to the garbage can. It wasn't a question of that. I just didn't care. So yeah, I put a lot of old milk cartons and peanut butter sandwiches and other crap in my desk at school. And for the most part, that was ever, yeah, I was only ever cleaned out sometime in June every year. Like, oh, yep, time to open up the dump, see what archaeology of the previous year we can practice. I was a shit. I'll admit it. I was a terrible student. I guess you could say, I could have used more guidance. I definitely could have used a mentor, but I don't know. Maybe it was hard. My third grade teacher, I think Mrs. Hofstie. Okay, so I think it's that one of my sisters, this is actually before I was in her class. Like, this is when I was really young. I think this is when I was in first grade. And it was one of my sister's, first communion, I think. And I was dressed in a little suit. And I think it was this, and Mrs. Hofstie said, "You look really good, Dan." And then I told her, "You should see me with my clothes off." I was 6 years old, I think. And I said, "You should see me with my clothes off." That's messed up, especially given all the pedophile stuff that goes on that is real and scary these days. Yeah, when I was six, Mrs. Hofstie said, "You look good in that suit." And my first response was, "Well, you should see me with my clothes off." I mean, come on. What kind of a shit was I? I was a terrible shit. Me and David Mowry would talk about machine guns all the time. Escape from New York was our favorite movie. We wanted to have a Mac-10. We wanted to have a Mac-10 in third or fourth grade. Thankfully, we didn't. Although I did have another friend, and let's call him Brian. I won't say last name. I had another friend at Immaculate Conception. His dad bought him a lot of crazy ass shit. His dad bought him a 357 Magnum, okay? Bought him some guns, and I think he was barely 10 or 11. Although, in his defense, my dad bought me a Ruger 10/22 when I was 12 or 13. Here's the thing, people were different about guns back then. They really were. Whole nother topic, this kind of a depressing topic. But yeah, I had a friend at Immaculate Conception. His dad bought one of his brothers quarter sticks of dynamite because he was depressed. Let me repeat that statement. My friend Brian, whose dad bought him guns, also bought another brother of his dynamite so he could toss it at the back of his house at the trees because he was depressed. This was an interesting family. I should not judge, but a very interesting, cool family. If you were a little rascal like me, it was like, you know, holy crap. What's going on here? I also used to go skiing with them. I won't say I know how to ski any longer. It was downhill skiing. I was never any good, but I did learn the basics. It's been a long time since I've been skiing. I think the last time I went skiing, I was 13. So it was 1983. It's been a while since I downhill skied anywhere. And I don't think I ever will again. It would be nice to believe in that reality. I know there are people who do believe in that reality. I just don't. And if you've read the book The Secret or seen the video, you'd say, well, Dan, it's because you're not committing yourself to the positive belief that it doesn't happen. And that could be true. That doesn't really fit with my Christianity because it sounds a lot like voodoo, but maybe. You never know. But the pine cone turkey was an issue, amongst others, you know? But yeah, I had that friend Brian. And I'll also tell you something interesting, too. Around about the same time about all this was happening, maybe in those years between 7 and 13, there was that 6-year period of amazing stuff. One of those 4th of Julys, my dad decides to let us get the real stuff. I mean, the stuff that isn't safe and sane. You have to go on the Indian reservation, okay? But there you can get the firecrackers and the bottle rockets and all kinds of other crap. Anyways, my point, and this is a roundabout way of saying that it's not like I was an innocent little kid and my mom was taking my pine cone turkey and it was the worst thing in the world. It just kind of pissed me off. It's like I worked on it. I held that grudge against Codename Amy for many years. It's silly. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But yet, it does sort of show you the problem with stealing from one person to give to another. The Robin Hood thing is great if you're dealing with really evil people. Like, for example, I think the people that run the banks almost destroyed our economy and are currently trying to destroy it again. It's the Scroobilee. Okay, the Scroobilee's back again. And the Scroobilee's gonna be shitty, and the people that get screwed the most will be little people by the banks, okay? So if someone said, Dan, I have a way of stealing billions from a bank, because I know it's bullshit, because I know it's all invented bullshit, I'd probably do that. I know that now that I've said it, I'm gonna be tracked and it'll never happen, and it's never gonna happen anyways. But if I had a way to magically put $1 billion in my checking account from the banks, I'd probably do it. I'd probably try to spend that money wisely and help people. I'll be honest about that. I'd probably give most of it away within the first 2 weeks. But yeah, I don't know. I think there are pretty shitty people out there. But for the most part, if we lived in a free world, well, the point is, it's wrong to steal from people. Even stealing from thieves, and that's kind of like what it means to steal from the bank, right? Stealing from a thief. Yeah, it's less bad, but you're still stealing from someone who stole from somebody else. Essentially, you're participating in a lot of messed up evil, and you shouldn't, right? So yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where you say, do we take from someone to help another person? And if we vote for it, is that okay? That's one of the things too about democracy and the crocodile. Is people will vote, and they say, I voted for the tax, you know, and it won, and that's just the way democracy works. But what we don't realize is that there's another side of that, and somebody ends up getting taken advantage of. It happens. We don't want to think about it because we want to pretend that there is no person. There's a book written many years ago, called The Forgotten Man, I think, and it was about the Great Depression. And the thing is, FDR would do this stuff where they would help somebody. I'm a helper. I'm a helper. I'm going to take the pine cone turkey from you and give it to somebody else. But the fact is, people, the forgotten man, the forgotten person, these people get screwed. They're just simply trying to live their lives and be free, and the government comes along and says, well, we're trying to help. So in general, it isn't a good lesson to say, take the pine cone turkey from, you know, student A and give it to student B, irrespective of gender, because the message you're sending is, well, you're sending two messages. One, no need to work hard, Dan, because your shit's going to get stolen. And two, no need to work hard because you can steal other people's shit. That's kind of a terrible lesson. And in that sense, my mom screwed up, but I have to forgive her. It was the day before Thanksgiving. She had 8 kids. She had a very demanding husband. She was really good at her job. Thanksgiving, mom made great turkey, great dressing. She was awesome. But, you know, that doesn't come for free. And no matter how many martinis you have at the Halberts, no matter how many gimblets or Manhattans or whatever, you know you were doing it, parents. This is a hypothesis on my part, but they went over to the Halberts a lot. And the great thing about the Halberts is that they were walking distance. They were next door. And we were on Highway 20, so there weren't a ton of people to visit. And so, yeah, I suspect that they went over to have drinks because it kept the drinks out of our house. No alcohol there. That was safer. But it gave them that, those darn kids. We were trouble. We were trouble. That's the truth. All of us. There's so many Sullivan stories. And the pine cone turkey isn't even as much about trouble as just, you know what? Sometimes you do get shit stolen from you, and it's terrible. And that's just, If there's a lesson in this, don't be a thief, you know? Even if you think you're stealing from bad people, that's a very questionable enterprise. Anywho, have a great afternoon, and this is, yeah.